Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
Just like it happened so many times before.
A lot of people are going to have that feeling this weekend as they head out into the woods. Firearm deer season begins on Sunday. Deer camp opens up this weekend. Joining us right now, the author of Wildlife 911, former DNR officer in our area, and really spreading the word of the great outdoors all over the place. John Borkovich. John, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, thank you for joining us this morning. It's a big weekend for outdoor lovers, isn't it?
Oh, it's a great weekend. Thanks for playing that Fred Bear song, too.
I thought you might like that. Absolutely.
Just a side note. I was over at Ted Nugent's house this last year, and we were doing a radio show, and he grabbed a guitar and started playing and singing that right while we're sitting there.
So wow.
Yeah, that song touched a lot of outdoors people, but... No, thanks for having me on today. This is a great time of year, Paul.
Well, it is indeed. We've had a really nice fall, haven't we?
Oh, it's been beautiful. I think it's given hunters time to kind of get ready for Sunday. Sunday's the opening day of the firearm gun deer season here in Michigan. So everyone's kind of geeked up.
Indeed, and it is a great tradition here in Michigan, isn't it?
We have such a storied and beautiful tradition and history of deer season and deer camps. Maybe in a bit we can go into that, Paul. I'd love to talk a little bit about our deer camps in Michigan and what they are. Do you want to clear off this coronavirus thing first before
well,
we get to the deer
camp? Let's talk about that. The governor did say yesterday, you know, if you're planning a big deer camp with a lot of people, maybe you want to think twice about that. Obviously, being outdoors is one thing, but a bunch of people all crammed together in a small cabin is another. But, yeah, let's talk a little bit about COVID.
Let's just clear it off the table so
please.
We can talk fun things
yeah.
today. So, real briefly, nowadays I'm kind of wearing out and getting tired of the vernacular, the phrases, you know, stay safe, mask up, testing is good, vaccines are great, all in this together, okay? It's almost time that we change our phrases, and you used something very important this morning, Paul. You said it's on us.
Yeah.
And I loved when you said that, and I'll tell you why. I believe that it's on us, Paul. It's on us to be more responsible. It's on us to be more considerate. It's on us to be more concerned for others. And I say that right now because people are going to deer camps and going to Thanksgiving get-togethers. But instead of being told to stay home, we should know enough to stay home if we're sick. I don't want someone coming to deer camp if they're sick,
mm-hmm.
just as you don't want someone bringing their kids to school when they have a fever. That's not fair to your children or your family. So I wish we were talking more about like our own behavior. How do we help others? How are we considerate of others, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into deer hunting real quickly.
Yep, but no, that's fine.
If we get this out of the way. I've seen people in the past where you walk up, hey, how you doing, buddy? And you shake their hand. And then they say, how's it going? They say, oh, I'm coming down with the flu.
Yeah.
Then why did you shake my hand? So I guess I bring this up for a reason, that if people were more conscientious of others' health, others' feelings, others' lives, maybe we wouldn't have so many issues. Being respectful of others, don't go to restaurants when you're sick. Don't take your kids to school when you're sick. Don't go to deer camp. Don't go to Thanksgiving. So I'll start relaying a little bit more into deer season, Paul, but
mm-hmm.
I was at deer camp, and it'd be a fun conversation in a few minutes, what is deer camp? But I was at a deer camp, and it was a Shirt-Tail Relatives up north by Escoda. And there's a 93-year-old grandfather. He was the matriarch of the deer camp. He had all the stories and all the, you know, mm-hmm. the experience. Well, he lost 75 or 85% of his vision, Paul.
Mm.
And his sons literally, I sat there. I had tears in my eyes. His sons took the powder out of his 30-06 shells so he could still go hunting. They feared, because his vision was so bad, that he could shoot another hunter.
Yeah.
I bring this up, Paul, because that's being responsible. It's a terrible thing to watch. What if a 12-point buck walked right out in front of this old man?
Right.
What if it was his last deer, and he pulled the trigger, and his sons cost him that deer? But on the other hand, the sacrifice that that family took is the right decision for other people's safety.
Yeah,
that's what I try to relate it back to deer hunting.
Yeah, I think that's a great example. Absolutely, and he still got to go out and enjoy the hunt, in a different way. So yeah, that's
exactly, Paul. There's so much involved with this sport of deer hunting, other than Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter and birthdays and anniversaries. That's one of the most important days of the year, this first day of firearm deer season, to many people.
You know, I don't remember if it was you or somebody else, but I remember hearing the phrase a while back, they don't call it deer killing, they call it deer hunting. And I thought, oh, wow, that kind of makes sense. Yes, ultimately, you know, the goal is to bring home a deer and process it and have something to eat all winter long. But, you know, it's about the hunt, isn't it?
Oh, it's the hunt. It's the planning. It's the going to deer camp. We can maybe talk some safety rules in a minute if you want.
Yeah.
You want to go right into this deer camp first or the safety rules? You get to pick.
I get to pick. Let's save the deer camp for last because I'm looking forward to hearing about that. But let's also talk about safety, as people are heading out, especially if they're, you know, either a first-time hunter or maybe they haven't hunted in a few years. Maybe this is the first year in several that they're going out. They need a refresher.
Very good, very good. We're going to have almost 600,000 hunters in the Michigan woods this fall. And with that comes a lot of responsibility. So to try to keep hunters safe, Michigan has a hunter orange requirement. All firearm deer hunters, all hunters during firearm deer season, must wear a hat, vest, or jacket made of the highly visible orange, the fluorescent orange color. So that's been a huge, huge safety net for our hunters. I'll mention four or five issues that are the main ones, Paul, but something as simple as trespassing. You shouldn't go trespassing because other issues arise due to the act of trespassing. There's people on property that shouldn't be. Now they're in the line of fire of other hunters. So we do have, each year we have some shootings that have to do with trespassing. People can hunt right on the roadway. You could stand right on one of our county roads out here, Paul, if you have permission adjacent to that road.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be conscientious of where your bullet is going. You can't shoot down the road. So again, this all comes down to this responsibility thing. It comes back to being responsible for your actions. And it's kind of like these age-old rules of firearm use. Never point a gun at another person.
Yeah.
Always assume a firearm is loaded. Those are so critical, Paul. The big one in Michigan here and all over America is always identify your target that you're shooting at.
Mm-hmm.
Spend the extra time to know what you're shooting at and what's beyond what you're shooting at. It sounds simple, but it has to be talked about.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
We have what's called APRs in Michigan and in certain counties, antler point restrictions, where a hunter cannot legally shoot a buck with less than 3 points on a side, let's say. That rule itself, if you think about it, if a hunter has to look close enough to look for 3 points on the side, he sure couldn't shoot a person walking through the woods. Okay?
Right.
And the same goes for like this aim small, miss small concept. If you want to be responsible and shoot a deer, you don't want to wound it. You don't want to maim it or cripple it. So aim in a certain spot to very humanely harvest the animal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing that, you're sure not going to shoot somebody walking with a white bucket in the woods with a brown coat on.
Right, good point,
So there's some safety areas we must keep in mind there. But, you know, I could go all day about the different laws and rules. There's a hunting guide that's published, and it's 68 pages long. It's available at the license agents in Michigan.
Okay.
It should only be one page long in my mind, but it's 68 pages long.
Right.
And read that so you don't accidentally or inadvertently break one of our multitude of laws.
Sure.
So I'll leave the safety issue to read that guide and try to be responsible when you're out hunting.
I want to talk about deer camp, but I want to ask you first, John, what's your favorite place in all of Michigan to hunt deer?
Maybe in a few minutes I'll take you there.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, you've probably never had this happen on the radio before, but before we get to that favorite place, yeah. I want to mention that the word deer camp is not so much of a physical location, Paul. The word deer camp is more of an image, a fantasy, or a thought in our hearts. Even though the physical part of to go into deer camp could be a cabin, it could be a trailer or a mobile home or a camper.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a tent. It could be somebody's home mm-hmm. that they transpose into deer camp.
Sure.
But so it's a physical structure, but deer camp is more than that. You're a U of M fan.
Yes, I am.
The big house is the structure, Paul, for
right.
those football games where 100,000 people pack in there. But the excitement is bigger than that physical structure. It's the tailgating. It's the face painting. It's the screaming and yelling. It's similar to deer camp that we have these structures in the woods. And I'm going to take you to one in just a minute here. But we have these structures, and that's only part of it. The biggest part is what deer camp is in our minds and in our hearts. Have you ever been deer hunting, Paul? You haven't been deer hunting.
I have not. I don't hunt. I certainly respect it as a sport, and I respect people that do it, and I think it's great. I love being out in the woods, but I'm not a hunter.
Okay, let me take you just on one
sure.
deer hunt.
All right, sounds good.
Do we have 5 minutes left?
Yeah, we do. We do.
Okay. I'd love to. Let's pretend like you deer hunt, Paul.
Okay.
Now, let's pretend like it's your first year.
Yep.
But since you're new to it, how about if you just go as the cook?
Okay, I can do that.
Okay, so I'm going to pick you up tomorrow morning, and it's going to be so fun, Paul. You're going to pack all your gear and your clothing and the blueberry pie your wife made and the chocolate chip cookies that you made, okay, to take to deer camp. That's part of the planning. I'm going to bring a chocolate cake with a half-inch thick frosting on top, so I'm going to bring some homemade bread, okay. I pick you up at your home, and you load all your gear and your goodies. We get in my truck, and we start driving up north. You and I talk about our families. We look around. We see nature. We see deer. We see other hunters traveling to their deer camps, and it's kind of contagious, Paul. You and I are going to deer camp. Paul's first deer camp.
Mm-hmm.
We ate a bunch of the chocolate chip cookies on the way.
Of course.
Okay, they were warm, so we had no choice on that. But so you and I are traveling to deer camp, and we may stop at a sporting goods store and, you know, maybe pick up a hat or some more ammo, whatever. But we stop and pick up my brother. Now there's three of us going to deer camp. My brother would bring a plate of lasagna. He might bring chili. Okay. As we travel, the stories grow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The big buck that got away.
Yeah.
All these hunting stories. And the trip is like when you go on a road trip with your kids or your wife or your friends. It's exciting.
Sure.
The trip. So you and I are traveling up north. And you asked my favorite place. All of us probably have a vision of what deer camp is in our mind, but let me take you to a log cabin in the woods. And you and I and my brother pull up to a log cabin. It's nestled in the cedar swamp up north. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We unpack our gear. There's a fieldstone fireplace. You and I make a big old fire. There's nothing as warm as wood heat, by the way.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
goes right through the bones. So we have a fire, and we're still telling stories, Paul. We're still all amped up, looking forward to this great opening day of deer season. So Paul Miller's first deer hunting trip mm-hmm. so far is chocolate chip cookies.
I'm loving it.
By one fire. You're probably like, okay. So, we have a huge chili dinner, lasagna dinner, and homemade bread, and we just have chocolate to no end. We have a great dinner. Then we maybe play cards. Then maybe someone brings out a bottle of homemade moonshine, and everybody laughs. It's
there
it
you
tastes
go.
Terrible. It's mm-hmm. just a joke. So
right,
it's one
right.
of those things that just happens. So nighttime comes. And we're in this cozy cabin in the middle of the woods with no cars, no sirens, no issues, no worries, no work. We go to bed, Paul, after telling stories all night. And like I said, the stories grow every year.
Mm-hmm.
They get bigger and better. Well, we all pick our little spots and have our gear lined up. And we get up in the morning. Paul Miller goes on his first deer hunt with John Borkovich. I'll take you out to a hunting blind, and you and I sit there and watch the woods get deathly quiet. Then we watch the sunrise, the red sky to the east, and a magical thing happens. The woods come alive. The first squirrel scampers by us. Birds, a black-capped chickadee, lands on our hunting blind, Paul.
Yeah.
If you weren't in that blind, you wouldn't see this. If you weren't in nature, you don't see what happens in nature. And that's why I try to promote going outside so much. You and I are looking around, enjoying the sights. We can smell cedar trees because we're in a cedar swamp. We hear the creek flowing over by us. We probably have more chocolate chip cookies while we're sitting there talking. Okay, then
yeah.
we see a brown deer coming. And it's a small four-point buck, and you and I watch him walk almost right to us. And we watch him walk right past us. He looks behind him. We get excited. Is it a big buck coming? But it's a coyote.
Oh.
Coyote chases the deer. The deer's gone. You and I are like, wow, that was amazing to watch nature in its raw form.
Yeah, really.
Real quick, like an hour later, we see a doe and a fawn walking through the forest. They're just nibbling on grasses. They find a white oak tree and they eat acorns that somehow grew down in the cedar swamp. They look behind them, Paul, and all you and I see is huge white antlers against the green cedar trees.
Mm.
You're probably not accustomed to this buck fever feeling, but you get it. Your heart starts pounding.
Sure.
You start breathing fast. And we're like, oh, my gosh, it's a huge buck. Well, then as quickly as it appeared, it disappears. It just slips away into the cedars. An hour or two later, you and I whisper to each other, this is really, really fun, but we're hungry. We had a successful hunt, Paul, without even shooting a deer.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned it a little bit ago. You and I enjoyed nature. We enjoyed the fresh air. We enjoyed seeing wildlife on its own ground and habitat. We start walking back to our cabin, and I show you, since you don't deer hunt, we lean down in the trout stream, cup our hands, and drink some of the cold, crisp water. The smell of the woods, the earth smell, the fresh air is why we like to go to deer camp.
Yeah, boy, that's I can see and feel all that. And that elusive buck, by the way, that was there and then gone, that's going to get a little bit bigger on next year's trip, and a little bit bigger the next year, a little bigger the next year as we talk about it, right?
Well, and you hit it on the head.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens. Now
yeah.
it's a 20-point.
Right, right, of course.
And you and I would dream about that buck. Oh, if only we had another 5 seconds. Oh, if only it would have turned broadside.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the lure of this. There were years, Paul, where none of us in my whole hunting family got a deer. And they were some of my best deer hunting memories. We just had a ball with deer camp. We ate a lot, had good company, enjoyed nature. Other years, we would get deer. It wasn't dependent on actually harvesting a deer as the judge of how our deer season went. I love venison. It's good to eat. We need to trim numbers to try to address the car deer accident situation that we have. So there's lots of reasons to hunt, but I don't hunt just to kill something. Mm-hmm. I hunt to enjoy this nature that we love so much.
Well, here's to all the hunters that go out this weekend. Hope everybody has as much fun at deer camp as we just did, because that was a great trip, and we took it in about 5 or 10 minutes. John, thanks so much for sharing that with us. That was a lot of fun, and I hope everybody has a good, safe weekend and a couple of weeks of deer season.
Me too, Paul. I wish everybody luck and have a great, great season. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, John. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care, Paul. Bye-bye.